Hello and welcome to our 76th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's episode, we will talk about the new developer block public beta, Gutenberg 14.5, 14.6, and what's in the work on for the block editor. I'm Birgit Pauli-Ha, curator at the Gutenberg Times and WordPress developer advocate. And I'm thrilled that my friend Ryan Welcher, co-contributor, live streamer on Twitch, and developer advocate, joined me today. Again, yeah, you've been on the show before. Good afternoon, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good, Birgit. Thanks for having me again. I'm always excited to hang out with you and talk Gutenberg release notes and all the stuff. Yeah, I'm excited.
Me too. You to have you here. So yesterday you had your weekly Twitch stream again. And
that's
you
right.
You had a break of 3 weeks and you came back. And so what was it about?
Well, for the past 2 weeks, well, the first week back, I spent trying to relearn how to use computers and the internet because it was 3 weeks off. I didn't have a clue what I was doing. So the last couple of weeks, I've been focusing on query loop block variations. This week or yesterday, I actually started building a plugin that introduced controls to the query loop block to be able to do more complicated and more advanced queries. So I'll probably be doing that for the next couple of streams and then hopefully releasing that into the wild for developers anyone to use, really. So,
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. You can check me out at Ryan Welcher Codes is my handle on Twitch. And every Thursday at 10:30 Eastern.
Yeah. And if you missed any of his, of Ryan's Twitch streams, they go silent on Twitch, but Ryan always makes an additional effort to put them up on your YouTube channel. That's the same username, youtube.com/ Ryan Welcher Codes.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. And I always have to follow up because, you know, it's really a great stuff that you put out there, and I learn so much about it. Only how to do how do it well, but also to how to get to doing it well and see what you struggle with. And I'm really good.
Yeah, that's like 80% of my stream is me spelling things horribly and typoing like crazy and then not knowing why something's broken. I have some viewers that are regulars that help me out all the time. Shout out to Kevin. He knows who he is. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Awesome. Well, and we have a good show to do for you, dear listeners, today. And for the American listeners, it's all a happy Thanksgiving. And also, I hope you have a great time on Black Friday and then the Cyber Monday. And yeah, so I will be over the weekend at a cricket game tournament in Sarasota. And so we're doing this recording today, and then I'm off to my weekend. So we have a couple of announcements that came in from the WordPress project, and we are all involved. You and I, that's the WordPress developer blog, is in public beta. And so it came out of discussion year-long complaints or many years, is that staying on top of the new features that are coming to WordPress open source is really one of the main barriers for developers to get started on the block editor, the site editor, and doing stuff with it. And the Make core block, where most of the information is released, has a very heavy emphasis for meeting notes of the various core teams. And also it only highlights the new features that came with a major release, but for the Gutenberg plugin or what's in the works on PHP side, there is not a central place. And it's difficult for developers who are not contributors to get anything out of those make blogs as a relevant information. So the content focuses on the updates for developers, extenders who create plugins and themes, and those who work with WordPress at an agency or as freelancers. And you were one of them working as agency at an agency, also a freelancer. So I really appreciate your continuing input on what is needed for agencies on the new features and how does it work. There's also, so it's really good that we have now a place where that information can be shared. And it's in beta, so there are not a whole lot of posts there, but that's definitely going to change next year. We have three posts there. One is Ryan's post on how to extend the WordPress via slot fill system. What is that about, Ryan?
So so slot fill system is an extension paradigm that was introduced with the block editor with WordPress 5.0, and it's a way of getting of extending UIs. Let's put it that way. So you can inject your own elements into certain areas inside the block editor and inside the site editor now. And yeah, the article there is sort of preliminary, sort of deep but not too deep, deep enough to get started, and it's based on a couple of talks that I've given in the past. So if you're looking to extend the UI for the site editor or for the block editor, I'd go and take a look at that. But yeah, it's kind of code heavy, but it's exactly why we wanted. It's one of the reasons why the developer blog I think is going to be so important, because normally I would write this on my own personal blog. And now we have a central place where we can share this information that's sort of official, and people know where to go, and they don't have to know who I am or what my web address is or any of that stuff to be able to get the information that I'm trying to share.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Yeah, there's a lot of information out there that's in decentralized, and bringing them all in or bring the writers in. Daisy Olsen has a post, and she demystifies the home and post templates for the WordPress theme development. It's not necessarily focused on block themes. That's pretty much it shows you for classic theme as well as for block themes. And then Justin Tadlock had a has a post where he helps theme developers think about block theme development from a pattern first mindset to avoid redundancy in code and also to have some simplicity more in the theme development. And I think that all three of them are really excellent posts there. So I'm so excited about this, and I know a lot of people are to kind of see what comes out of that. And yeah. So check it out. There's also a page there that gives you a little bit more history about that, and also a page that says how you can contribute to if you want to be a writer or if you want to be a reviewer or you want to just kind of add your ideas to it, go there. And it's mainly managed through GitHub, so you get an additional kind of insight in how GitHub works, even if you're not so code-centric and had always shied away. But believe me, it's always a good place to be as a WordPress contributor.
I just want to just kind of reiterate like what you're saying about how anyone can write for the developer blog. It's not a gated in the sense of like, there is a process, and ideas and content may not be accepted, but that's based on topic, not based on who's contributing it. So I think it's really important to understand that it's not just for certain folks, and it's not just for contributors or whoever. It's for whoever really wants to, and as long as you sort of adhere to the process, there's no reason why I wouldn't I could say anybody wouldn't be able to add content to the developer blog. It's truly
That's
open
right.
source. So
And can also be reused because it's going to be in public domain. So that's the GPL part of it. Yeah, another announcement came down the pipe, which is that core committer and Peter Wilson, and he's also a member of the security team, announced that that WordPress will drop support for WordPress 3.7 and 4.0 on December 1st. And you might ask, what? They're still supporting that? I thought it was only the last two WordPress versions. That is true. Officially, WordPress only supports the last two major versions, but the security team had always also applied security updates to previous versions, like 3.7, from 3.7 to 5.8, 6.03. They all got the same security updates. And that is to end. So 3.7, 3.8, 3.9, and 4.0 are not gonna get, they get one more update that will announce that there won't be any future updates. in the WP admin, and then so if you have these old versions in the stable of your clients, make sure that you upgrade to the later versions. I looked at the WordPress stats for that. So there's a stat online that gives you, yeah, who's how many people are on which version in WordPress, and all four versions come together at 0.5% of WordPress installations. So yeah, it's a good decision. I think the decision that I wanted to do it last year, but it somehow it didn't make it. Now it's this year. So I just wanted to let everybody know 3.7 to 4.0.
It just amazes me that WordPress versions that far back still work. People are still able to run it, and I just think that's fantastic. You
Yeah.
should update if you're running 3.7. You should update. There's a lot of functionality that you're missing out on, but
So
it's amazing that it still works.
I wanted to look up when the 3.7 was actually released, and I think it was 2010 or something like that. But I can verify that. Maybe not. Yeah.
14th to the March 14th, 2017. That makes sense.
Oh yeah, could be. Could be. Yeah, we are only at
Oh wait, no.
3.0 or something.
Sorry, I was looking at the wrong place. This is version 3. October 24th, 2013. Version 3.7
Okay, thank you.
was named for Count Basie.
20,
Interesting.
2013. So that is a 9-year-old version, and nothing on your computer should be 9 years old. So,
No.
and not on the server either, or be just accessible, yeah, by the public on the internet. Yeah, for sure. Update. So we come to sections what's released. And since the last show on October 30th recorded, we had two WordPress releases. One was the major release 6.1, and we talked about
Yay.
it. Yay! Talked about it quite a few times here. And I definitely will share again the field guide link in the show notes. And then there was another release on November 15th for the 6.1.1, and it's about roughly 50 bug fixes that didn't make it in a 6.1 or came out after 6.1 was released. So that was a major effort from the release team to just 14 days after a major release to come up with a point release to get all the bug fixes in the hands of the WordPress users. So there's also a release from WooCommerce Blocks 9.0. And just for those who don't know, WooCommerce Blocks is the bleeding edge plugin from WooCommerce, similar to the Gutenberg plugin, relates to the WordPress software. So using it, you can test all the future features coming to WooCommerce and help improve them before they're actually released in WooCommerce. And the 9.0 release came out this week, actually today, and it's November 25th, 2022. So they updated the options to customize products with an attribute template from the site editor, which sounds really cool. And then they improved the performance of product blocks in by removing some fragments that were in there. And then they also cleared out some validation errors that were visible. A nice quality of life enhancement is that the placeholder for blocks, yeah, who has placeholders? So the cover block, the image block, the gallery block, they all have placeholders that they take on the main store color coming from the theme JSON file.
Oh, that's
And
nice.
that's kind of really nice. It's of course an experimentation, and but that is certainly something that any theme developer might want to look at how they implement
Yeah,
that.
that's really neat. I'd love to take a look and see. I've always been intrigued because I do a lot of block development, especially on my streams, and I'm always intrigued by how much can I interface, like if I had a block that just didn't matter where it was installed, if it could take on certain aspects of theme.json. I think that'd be super neat. I mean, I think some of that stuff just trickles down by default, but yeah, I'd be interested to take a deeper look at that.
Yeah, there is
Sounds
actually
neat.
a in Gutenberg there was also a feature where you can access the theme JSON through some hooks and filters in 6.1, but I'm not sure how robust that is.
You can filter it as in add new things to it, but I'd be interested to see how it works. Like if there's and I just haven't put in the research, so I don't know. But I mean, I'd be interested to see if there's like a data store on the JavaScript side that where we could retrieve that stuff, because you can get block editor in information. I just have to do the research, but
Yeah,
yeah,
that
cool.
will be for the, what did you say, the next couple of Twitch streams or still query block, and then the third
Yeah,
one from now.
yeah. It's a great idea. Integrating theme.json into your blocks, like using values from there to do things in a block. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I think that makes your whatever plugin you have kind of very versatile and kind of
Sure.
migrates
Yeah.
from theme to theme. But I also think that you probably need some standards as the naming convention on how you kind of second primary, secondary, tertiary kind
Oh,
of colors. Yeah. So
yeah.
I think that as long as we don't have them, it can be hit and miss. Yeah. If there's no
Yeah. Yeah. I
standard.
mean,
Yeah.
as soon as it's up to somebody naming something, that's like what the second hardest thing to do in computer and software development is naming
What's
things.
the hardest thing?
Recursion, I think.
Okay.
I can't
Okay.
remember. I can't remember
Yeah.
who said that. Somebody smarter
Yeah.
than me, anyways. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and yeah, Gutenberg 4.5 was released on November 9th. And we have a few enhancements there. It was not a very heavy release because everybody still came off of the November 1st 6.1 release and still moving some stuff around. There were some enhancement for create block, for instance, and I'm sure you were, I think, involved in that to update the
I was,
templates to
yeah.
use the APIs
So,
in, yeah.
yep. So this is the create block package is like my near and dear to my heart. And this one actually allowed us to create. So back it up, but when you use the create block package, you can also create external templates. And so those templates will define how your plugin is structured and how your block is structured. And part of that templating system, there's a series of default values that you can pass. And so what this commit did was it allowed you to use the render property, because in 6.1 the block API introduced render to as a block dot JSON property, where you can pass it the path to a file, and that file will be used for dynamic blocks. It's a PHP file. And so it what that did that allows you to do away with having to call a render callback and defining a function when you're registering a block. So it's made block registration a lot easier, but we needed to update the create block package to be able to work with that system. So you can have it, you can define as a template author, you can define what the name of that file is, where it lives, and all those sort of things. So that's what that did. That's a long way of explaining it. Just caught one thing
No,
up to the other thing.
yeah, it was cool.
So,
That's cool. Thank you so much. And we
no
all
problem.
need kind of a little bit more explanation about these things that are just one headline from that's what we're all doing here at the podcast. So in the style engine, that's kind of the engine that's behind, that's the black box behind the theme JSON file that kind of tries to manage all the user inputs, the block JSON attributes, the styles from the theme, and the default style from the block editor. And now they support the dimensions minimum height property. So you could have, yeah, for all kind of blocks, but it's now available. And that's really cool because then you can say, okay, my core block or my cover block has a certain minimum height to fill up and can also inherit that to the other blocks that are there. Yeah, so it's really
Great.
cool. Yeah, and then the comment template, post comment count, post comment form, and post comment links, they all got now also spacing support. So for your site editor and template, so you can actually then, yeah, you can remove the spacer block and control it all with the blocks there. For another social icons, they got a new attribute, and that's the rel attribute, rel, which is needed for something that's happened on the rest outside of the WordPress universe, which is that Twitter had some implosion things coming on.
Yeah,
And
some
this,
stuff happened over
yeah,
there
some stuff
at
happened
Twitter.
there. I don't want to really belabor that, but if you want to, so the social link block now has a Mastodon block variation. But the Mastodon also variation also lets you verify your website with your Mastodon account. So you can say, okay, or can prove, okay, I am the person who belongs to this website. And it then gives you a check mark in the Mastodon profile. And George Hotelling, he's a WordPress core contributor. What is it? A core contributor.
That's
And he wrote a short tutorial on how to do this and verify your WordPress site with Mastodon. So if you have the need or wish to, or just want to check it out on Mastodon as a replacement for Twitter, a lot of people have registered Mastodon accounts since the Elon Musk took over Twitter, and I think they are now on 2 million within a week new accounts. So there's definitely a wave there. And you can't leave Twitter until you tell your followers where you will be. So
Exactly.
it's definitely a good way to at least get a Mastodon account and get it verified if you have
Yeah,
a good
I have to
website.
get a Mastodon account. Do you have one, Birgit? Do you have a Mastodon account
I
yet?
have two. Yes, I
You have
have
two.
one.
Oh,
I have one
you're
on.
always I'm always playing catch up with you. You're so bleeding edge. It's like you're like
Totally, totally.
there's new technology, and not only do you have an account, you have two accounts, and you're the lead community contributor.
Well, I looked at the Mastodon account and kind of, oh, and then my browser kind of said, oh, you have an account. Here's your password. I
Oh,
said, oh.
okay.
And
So not
then I
only
looked at
you're an early adopter,
it.
well before the Twitter
And
nonsense.
I looked at it, and it was from 2017, and I had not a single post and three followers.
All right.
So
Well.
yeah, so I pinned on my new account on my profile. So if you want to follow me, or you have left Twitter and you want to kind of look at it, and you want to connect with me again, do that. I also pinned my Tumblr account, which I set up in 2008, I guess.
Yeah, I actually have a Tumblr account that I think I set up back when I was doing Flash development. That's how long ago it was. So I need to get that updated.
Yeah, okay, so now we got that out of the way. And the second account is that I have with the Gutenberg
Excuse
Times,
me.
of course. Yeah, it's a separate account. So if you don't want the other things that I post on Twitter or on Mastodon, yeah, and just go WordPress only, then the Gutenberg Times account on Twit Social, actually. Twit is a long time podcast and live show technology podcast by Leo Laporte. And I have been following This Week in Google show, that's the since, I don't know, 10 years ago. Yeah. And they have a Mastodon instance on their server. So I finished. I like the name of it. It's the Twit. It's not Twitter, but it's
Yeah, it's Twit.
twit.social. So kind of, I like
Nice.
that. And they also have an instance that is a little bit more moderated. So it's not anybody could come because they want to kind of keep the community tech oriented. So I think that's a good place to be. But you can follow from any other Mastodon instance on the Gutenberg Times stream there.
Awesome.
What else is in there?
I think we were on Post Editor at yeah.
I highlighted that a little piece there is just to reiterate that there is a distraction-free mode in Gutenberg plugin now that kind of hides all the interface items when you write or at all, and only when you, so the toolbar on top, the site settings, but also the block toolbar that comes up, or any other hover things that sometimes spring up and distract you from the what does it now want kind of thing. And now also the notices are now improved that come up on the edit post screen. For instance, when you, the saving part and the transform part, when you transform things and all that, that's nicely improved.
Yeah, it looks really nice on the screenshot that they have there.
Yeah, and
The
one
next one there
thing,
is, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
go ahead,
Go
go ahead.
ahead. Well,
No, no,
I
go
was just
ahead.
going to jump the next one. So they're moving the document information into the outline view, which is interesting to me. So if you want to know the word count and all that, you normally go up into the there's a one of the buttons. I can't remember what it was, what it looks like.
The cycle
Like
with
a
the
little,
E,
yeah, it's a little I or yeah, the info one. But now it's been moved down to the bottom of the list view, which I don't necessarily hate. This is the first I've seen this one, but I wonder, is that an option or is that only in specific instances or is it always going to be there?
That's always right now.
Okay.
I think the last word hasn't been spoken yet about that. It definitely needs some additional accessibility
Yeah.
review and improvements. And it also is missing some information. So I think the time to read comes up when you have a longer, if your post is longer than a minute, then you get the time to read. And the number of blocks is, I think, mission, but you also get the outline as well. So, and that's
Right.
a little bit of a duplication between, so the outline is just the headers that are in your document, and in the list view, you also see all the blocks that are in there. So it's a kind of a reduced. I like that the information is now just in one panel, and it declutters the top toolbar, because I'm
Yeah.
sure we're gonna get additional information there with
Almost guaranteed.
and I know that some
yeah.
plugins use that as well.
Yeah, I would love to see this leverage like the preferences, the preferences so a user can decide where they want that because that could be something that I can see use cases on both sides of it. Like I don't care about it. I'm just, I'm in distraction-free mode or whatever, or I just wanted to be able to be nice and quick because I have a word count that I'm trying to hit or something. So I can see that. I can see people loving this and hating this as is with always the case with anytime we change anything. So, but I think it's cool. It's nice.
Yeah, and I definitely wanted to mention it here because I heard from quite a few people that thought, oh, it's missing now, what did I do, kind of thing. It's actually hidden, and there is no a notification that look here if you're looking for that, kind of thing.
Yeah, they used to do that a lot.
And they haven't done yet for this one.
Yeah.
I think
But
they
it
still
used to
need
have
to.
those little blue arrows. Do you remember that? Like pre-Gutenberg days when like something would move and all of a sudden there'd be a little like blue arrow that says, hey, this thing's over here now. It'd be cool if they did that again for.
I don't think that, do they have that feature,
I
the
don't
kind
think
of
they
the
do.
API for that for in Gutenberg? I think that would be a good API to have at
I
one
think
point.
there's they have the modal that pops up the first time that you go into the block editor. So that might be something to leverage when there's an update that gets triggered again. With like, hey, do you want to see what's new? And then everyone will hate it and turn it off. But it might be an interesting thing to leverage to kind of save people from trying to figure out where the heck something went or if they feeling like they broke something. And anyways, so
No, I
that's
totally agree. I totally agree. There are quite a few apps that do this quite well, that they have a little notification bell somewhere and they just change the color of it, and you know there's something new. So when you have time to browse that, you kind of go there.
Yeah,
I think
especially
Twitch
something where
does
you're
that.
using. Yeah, it does. And like a lot of like desktop apps will do that and stuff like that. So I mean, I think it's a nice consideration for a user to be able to say, oh, hey, something's changed and you can opt into it. So maybe just having it popped up's not the best way of doing it, but having some notification that shows up that says there's been some changes to the UI, would you like to see what they are? I think that'd be kind of neat.
Yeah, and
Yeah,
as with all
anyways.
the
So
changes
you talk to
coming.
your people about that and I'll talk to my
Yeah,
people about that.
we talk
And
to our
we'll see what
people about
happens. Yeah. Yeah.
that.
Anywho. All right. What's the next thing here?
What's the next thing? Yeah, I'm kind of browsing past the bug fixes,
Yeah.
and I saw a headline that's called Meta Boxes, and I was looking at that, and the PR is that Perform A has Meta Boxes check on every save, which I really appreciate now, because there have been very much quite some instances where I changed something in a meta box, and but I didn't hit save, and then I went out there and that thing was also not updated, although all the block editor edits were updated. So it now does that on every autosave as well, so you're not losing any data from your
Oh,
meta
that's great.
boxes.
Now, when you say meta boxes, are you saying like the first thing that comes to mind is like register meta box in the original way that you do that? Is that what you're talking about or just
When you
yeah?
So the metabox is in on the bottom of a screen in a block
Right.
editor, yeah, like Yoast has some
Yep.
and
Yeah,
Newsletter Glue has
ACF and
them,
stuff like that.
yeah,
Yeah.
and those boxes were not always saved unless you physically saved it, so the autosave would not catch
Oh,
them.
that's gonna be that's great. That's so nice. 'Cause that is horribly annoying when you've been messing around with stuff and then you navigate away and it doesn't trigger the are you sure? And then you've lost your work. That's nice. That's really nice.
Especially when you're so accustomed to that the every 15 seconds autosave kicks in and you don't have to worry about it. All of a
Yeah,
sudden you have to
exactly.
worry again. Yeah, it's kind of
Yeah.
it's a little bit counterintuitive. And then we come to the documentation section, and there was one thing that was the storyboard intro and the storybook, not storyboard, storybook. And storybook is a tool that allows you to see each WordPress component from the block editor in isolations, and you see what values are in there, what action you can have there, and you can kind of make some changes and then see how that happens. And this storybook site didn't have an intro page. It was just kind of you landed there and it says hello world. And so a few of us got together and updated it so you can learn more about it and
Yes,
also how to.
just take the credit, Birgit. This was all you. You did this, and some people helped. So,
Yeah.
props to you. This
Well,
is
thank
it's
you.
a it's like quite literally the perfect the definition of DevRel is making this easier to understand. And I remember when I started first playing around with this storybook instance specifically, I said, "Why does it just say hello world?" And then it would fall off my radar. And yeah, so I'm so thank you from the
Yeah, well, you're
community.
welcome.
Officially thanking you for doing this and making it better. So that's great.
Well,
Because it's
thank
a
you.
very, I actually use this tool today. It's so helpful, not only for reference guides, but for example, WordPress icons. There's a little way down the bottom of that list on the left-hand side, you can see all of the available icons. And so I was able, so I was working on that plugin today and I used it, and it's a handy dandy little tool to show you what's available, and you can see it in real time and see the different states of things. It's very cool.
Yeah,
Thank you for
no,
doing that.
I think it improves development. Not only
Yeah.
improves it but also speeds it up because you can go there and say, so what is that component? You can grab the example code and put it in your component and see how the first version looks. And so it's really good. We'll share the tool in the show notes, of course, so you can check it out yourself and see if you wanna use it for your development. And the other documentation issue that I wanted to highlight was that the curating the editor experience is a page on in the block editor handbook, and that was updated with the content lock ability or the content only lock ability. So you can it's a WordPress 6.1 new feature, and I also linked to the developer notes in the show notes. But it practically lets you narrow down or lock down a pattern, for instance, just that the user only can change the content of the headline, but not the headline itself, the content of the paragraph, or just upload a new image, but a block pattern itself stays as it is. So I think that is pretty far-reaching because a lot of people build custom blocks because they wanted to lock down content and not have people or users kind of change things. And there is actually no need for that if you now with a content only blocks or patterns, because now you just use a normal core blocks, a collection of core blocks, and lock down the changing and the content and only open up the content for that. So
Yeah, I think it's super powerful. I know coming from the agency world, that was one thing that like being able to stop people from creating every iteration of button color on the planet because you have to design for that and we have to account for that and stuff. So being able to just manage the content of something and leave everything else alone, I think is going to help a lot of people. And this explains it a little bit better.
and it again, it speeds up building websites considerably if you don't have to have a developer create your custom block to have that
Yeah,
feature there. So really
for
good.
sure.
Yeah. So that was the Gutenberg 14.5, and without any, oops, sorry, and without any further ado, we go to Gutenberg 14.6 that
Point
came
six.
out this week. And oh, we didn't say 14.9. The release lead was Nick Diego, and he also posted the release document. Gutenberg 14.6, Fabian Kegi was the release lead, and that was came out 2 days ago on Wednesday. And so yeah, there are quite a few enhancements. Again, it's a much richer plugin release than 14.5 was, and we have a few things that we wanted to point out. The first one is in the block library. There's a it adds a so the navigation block is in major revamp, just because you need more space to manage your menu. And in 14.6, you now find that the navigation block has an added list view in the side bar, and you can have more space to actually create your menus, select the menus, add a new link to a menu, instead of doing it all in the small little space that you had next to the inserter on the navigation block. So that's definitely something to check out. And then also the navigation link, it now has a URL feed to the inspector controls, so you can so the inspector controls itself, though you get a URL, you get names and all that additional features for your links, and that is definitely useful. What else is in there?
Make author block selector display all users instead of just 10. I just looked at that. It's not all users, it's 100 users, but that's if you have more than 100 users on your site, you're kind of a special use case anyways, I would imagine. So that should encompass the majority of users, but that's pretty nice. Yeah. I'm not sure the column add transfer
Yeah, the columns block now has a transform that kind of unwraps the content, meaning if you get it out of the columns into a normal. So if you have a header, an image, and a paragraph in a column, and you look at unwrap the content, it comes out of the column and
Oh,
goes
that's
in.
super handy.
Yeah, that's
That's
super
super
handy when you
handy.
say,
Yeah.
okay, I can't figure out where I put this, but now I can kind of get it out of it.
Well,
Yeah.
yeah. Well, and I mean, trying to drag it out of columns and figure that all out, it's just one button is going to make that way easier. So,
Yeah. And yeah,
yeah.
otherwise you would have to drag and drop, for instance, three blocks instead of having a one button
Yeah.
action there. Yeah, you got it right. Yeah.
That's neat. Oh, and the next one. So the group block now has a variation picker in the placeholder, which looks really, again, helpful. Being able to just choose the thing you want, the variation in there, which is really handy.
Yeah, and I like it that this surfaced the row and the stack variation right when you select the group block, and oh, not only when you have it already on your canvas. Yeah, and then
Yeah.
on the right-hand side, you need to figure out the layouts of that. So yeah, I really like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real, I think that's like a quality of life thing right there. So you don't have to insert the block and then get the block and then go over to the right and said, like what you're saying, just make this nice and easy. You want a row, you get a row. Two clicks, you're done. Yeah. So the next one is under components, update the design of the focal point handle. What does that one look like? I think that's, oh, that's nice. No, that's nice. It's like a little white circle with a little bit of opacity so you can see the stuff behind it. That's super nice. I quite like that. I love that people are actually taking the time and looking at these little tiny, like this is not a, like in a grand scheme of WordPress, this is a tiny detail, but it just makes it that much nicer. It's got a little drop shadow. You can kind of see the image through it. I don't know. I that kind of stuff. I'm always amazed because I'm not a designer, so I don't look at things like that.
Yeah.
If it was me, it'd be a big block, bright blue, and it would look horrible, but it would do the job. So it's nice that there's this level of refinement happening to these existing tools.
Yeah, a good job on the designers, and they really figure out all the alignment. Yeah, like the when they redesigned the whole settings section, or the style section on a block where you have two things in one row, they all line up nicely. That was in a second iteration, but they now have a standard how to do that, so it's really good. Yeah, and the next one is the same. It's also a quality of life thing, but it also speeds up your writing. You can convert paragraphs to headings with a keyboard shortcut, and the keyboard shortcut is, I think,
Control Alt.
Control
plus
Alt
number.
and then the number for the heading. So for H2 it's Control Alt 2, and for the three
Yeah.
is H3 is Control Alt,
Yeah,
and
and if you're on a Mac, I guess it's option. So control option one to
Control Options.
six.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is nice because I just learned that you can do that in Google Docs. So that's a nice carryover here.
And I wish Google would carry over the paste,
The link? Were you going to
the
say the
link.
link?
Yeah, it
Yes.
kind
Why
of
does Google Docs not have that?
trips me up every time. Every time I have a
Yeah.
link in a Google, like, it kind of trips me up.
Yeah, I
It's
know. I just
like,
end up, I just never pasting over the top of the text that I just wrote because I want to put a link on it. I just, hey Google, if you're
Go
listening,
Google.
I'm going to trigger everyone's Google Home now by saying that.
Mine is downstairs, so no problem with
Oh,
that.
mine just triggered. I have one in the garage here and it just triggered. It just said, I can't hear what you're saying. Anyways.
Well, ours, when it kind of gets triggered from something on the TV, it responds back in German. It's so funny.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. That's
But
funny.
anyway, yeah, those kind of the home devices, yeah. Okay, yeah. And the next
So
one is really the following the change in vocabulary. We don't say full site editor anymore. We do just say site editor, and that of course needs to come through the whole interface and some other documentation. I think we will follow chase that quite a bit, but sooner or later we will all be there.
yeah, it's just, it's the same thing as trying not to call the block editor site editor Gutenberg, because Gutenberg is the name, it's the code name of the project, right? And
Yeah,
I
that's
know
right.
I'm very guilty of it, just using it as a catch-all tool. So I think this is just a matter of leading by example and having people, maybe not correcting everyone, but just kind of using it.
Exactly. Oh, we talked about the minimum height on the dimensions already, I think. Then,
Think we did, yeah.
And there, but there's also another design tool change. Or update is so when on the right hand side, do you have the dimension controls and the spacing for padding and margin controls? And you notice when you go and change it in the step scale that it has a little visualizer around the block that you're editing in blue. And now that process also will hide the toolbar. So you really can concentrate on that block that you're trying to place pixel perfect into your
Right.
canvas. So I really like the spacing visualizer here because I can never figure out is margin new outside or inside, or is that padding outside on inside?
Yeah.
So the visualizer really helps you with that.
That is really nice. Yeah. Yeah. So on the global styles, they have some elements of adding a tech decorate deck, sorry, tech text decoration control to link elements. That's nice. Being able to manage that. Very cool. Blue typography, adjust font size, min and max rules. That's great. These are all interface items, right? They're all being added to.
The theme JSON items right now.
Yeah. But are they adding controls for them as well? Like the one for the text link
For the text decoration,
decoration.
I
Yeah,
think
there's
so,
a
yes.
yeah. And I think some of these are sort of like I like the other one we're talking about, the min height. I believe that was more about. The first thing we talked about was allowing it to work, and the second one is giving a sort of a control and some tooling around that. So,
And for fluid typography, I think they have started working on the interface or the user controls for it, but they are right now only available through the theme JSON. And they added minimum and maximum rules for the font size, so you can actually change those, which was missing in 6.1 when the fluid typography came in the first time. And there is another global styles also a attempt to see if you can generate random color palettes.
pretty neat.
It's pretty neat for those that are having a hard time with the design that they can you can give a color and then it gives you additional colors that match that or kind of go well with it.
That's super
And
neat.
yeah, you don't have to think about all the colors that you wanted to use. It's really neat.
Yeah, that's really neat. I can just hear the agency folks going, no. But yeah, being able to generate, that's so neat. For someone like me who's not a designer, who's colorblind, having being able to pick one color I like, and then having sort of other, complementary colors generated for me, I think that's really cool. It's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's also, we can disable that for certain individuals, but for certain use cases, I should say.
Yeah, I hope so too. But
Yeah.
it's actually in the style variations, and you can shut down quite a bit. I'm just going through the PR and looking for this to disable this, do this, but I haven't found it yet. But I'm also just scrolling through, so I might
Yeah, I'm
have
just
missed
gonna.
it. But those, okay, disable things will never be in the first iteration of a feature,
Yeah, no.
because you need to be pretty firm on how a feature works before you can say, okay, and now we disable it. So, but it will definitely, given the history of whatever happened before, I think there's a good chance that that will
Yeah,
be added. Yeah.
definitely. So we have some bug fixes there. Play borders and padding in both front end and editor. Well, that seems like a good thing to do.
Yeah, that bug has been fixed.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And then other than that, the block editor. So the list view has been updated to disable the branch expansion when a block editing is locked. So if you are not allowed to edit it, or if you're not allowed to move it or remove it, and you can only edit the content, then it will not expand in the list view either. Yeah, so
Right,
you cannot.
so like a example would be you've got a group block that you've locked, and so you can't see any of the nested blocks in there. You can't expand that tree to see that. That I think that's really smart. I think that's really smart because there's a way of getting around locking, and why clutter up the list view if you can't, and if you've got 100 blocks in there, it's a very complicated pattern and you've inserted it. Why mess up the list view with stuff you can't even edit in the first place?
Yeah,
That's
right.
my
Exactly.
opinion.
Yeah. Then we have some experiments. We didn't have any a whole lot of experiments for a long time, but at the beginning of the Gutenberg development, there were a few experiments where developers wanted to just see how things work. And we are back to that. The navigation list view is actually an experiment. And then also inspector-based navigation editing is also an experiment. So when you install the Gutenberg plugin, you need to go down to the menu where it says Gutenberg and then go to the experiment settings page and enable those so you can test them. Yeah. What else?
You want to move on to the documentation? Yeah, a lot of nice little documentation changes, changing titles around working with JavaScript in Gutenberg as opposed to it just being, oh, and this is another Birgit thing here. So it's not about getting started with JavaScript, it's about how to use JavaScript in Gutenberg, which is a big it's a fundamental difference because the assumption is that you do know how to use some JavaScript when coming to working with the block editor and Gutenberg project and stuff like that. So I think it was a misnomer. So
Yeah.
nice job
Well, thank you.
clarifying that
And
for
I'm
those.
just, yeah. There were quite a few posts in the community there where the PHP developer kind of started to figure out how that works with block development and all. And I saw, if not twice, but three times that people didn't get to that handbook section because of the title. It says how to use JavaScript instead of
Yeah.
how to use JavaScript with Gutenberg or with
Yeah.
WordPress is actually the title now, a WordPress block editor. Of course, they are not saying Gutenberg, but I think that helps people who kind of read through the handbook to get to those pages much earlier in their discovery and also have, save them some headaches on
Yeah, for
the way
sure.
to discover that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's much more discoverable now, and I think that's great. That's
Yeah.
wonderful.
And I know you and Juanma, you reorganized the create block documentation a bit.
I added another subsection. One of the things in the handbook is we have that massive left-hand navigation that has accordions in it. And so for some of these packages, they can get quite lengthy, those sections. So a while back we worked on having the DocGen tool that so the DocGen tool is what generates the docs, but then get ingested into the block editor handbook from the Gutenberg repository. So what we were working on ways of having sort of nested pages underneath those sort of subsections. And so that's part of what Wanma had done here. And it's great. It splits out the available commands and kind of organizes that content a little bit better. So it's a little bit more palatable, because as we all know, the documentation in WordPress, there's like a 0 to 100 thing. Here's the basics, and then here's everything else you could ever need to know about it all on the same page. And that's just hard to ingest, and it's hard to kind of parse through. So by doing this, and we'll be doing this to some other packages as well. I have a pull request in place that I have to finish for the scripts package that does the same thing, that kind of breaks out some of the more complicated things, more advanced things, into their own pages. Because, you know, for the majority of users, they don't need that. They just need to know what commands are available, for example. So yeah, that's kind of that's the motivation behind this.
Yeah, I think it's good kind of go once in a while through documentation and do a little bit of an overhaul to kind of to update with the feedback from developers that have tried to find things,
absolutely,
information, and say, okay, well, it could be a little bit better. And any improvement you dear listeners that you find or you could imagine, let us know in on any places, either the WP Slack or a Twitter DM or on the Gutenberg repo, and we definitely are receptive to that and help out with making that happen.
Absolutely. The you know, many hands make light work. Isn't that
right.
The same?
Well, no, that good. With many eyeballs, bugs are shallow. It's the same with documentation.
Okay. Yeah, totally. That's great. Okay. So that's all the documentation stuff we're going to go through. And then what's next? Code quality or patterns?
No, I think they are done a certain. Yeah. Well, there's a view.
There's a few things bolded in the code quality ones.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's.
I actually bothered them to do some more research on it, but I didn't get to it.
I mean, most of these things, like, you know, the color palette, color box, color border box, polish and dry prop types, add default values. This is just making it easier to use. The rename to .ts is for TypeScript, I guess, but I don't know if there's anything you want to specifically call out.
No, I don't think there's one change in the pattern directory API, that it now supports pagination parameters, but that's for Gutenberg developers or for contributors that use tab into the pattern directory.
Oh, okay.
It's not I don't think it's a public REST API. Yeah, I wasn't quite sure. I got the 401 kind of there, not allowed, but I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, it's probably locked down. You probably have to be. Maybe. I don't know. Have to look here. Anyways, it's giving us pagination, which is great.
Yeah, so if you wanted
the
to
good stuff.
Have more than 30 blocks or something like that. So was it api.wordpress? No, it's a 404 not found. So it's kind
okay,
of,
yeah, so it's locked down to somebody.
Yeah, it's locked down. All right, so that was the Gutenberg 14.6 release.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're coming into a section with what active development and discussions. And there are quite a few things that I find really, really exciting for the next iteration. And I hope they make it all. There are still open PRs, so you can test it. There is a different way how to test open PRs, but you get some great videos that demonstrate the features. So the first one is the design concepts for the browse method. So now that there are so many things that you can do in the site editor, the design team came up with how can we unify some of the interfaces. You know, some things are in the left column, some things are in the right column, and can we have that all together? What about design? And they have some nice ideas where the styles, the global styles, will be taken out of the right hand side, put them in on the left hand side, have a design sub menu for the site editor, also have a template sub menu for the site editor, but it's all in one place, it's not kind of fragmented.
It's really nice. I'm just kind of scrolling through some of the design items in the ticket there. I mean, it's a It looks great. Like the transitions that they have going, I just think it's going to be, really nice.
Yeah, and there's also a browse mode. So when you click on the templates, then you see all or page template, you see all the page templates in in thumbnails, but they're relatively big depending on your screen. But you see how they kind of can change when you change the style variation as well. So there's a lot more. What you see is what you get, and also kind of keeping a broader view on your site, especially when you do a lot of customizations on your templates to make it a little bit more consistent, also show you things that are not consistent. So I think that really helps with the customization of site for site owners and those who actually build themes through the interface to have a better view on how this all looks. So that's one thing that I wanted to talk about. The other one is they're working on a, and that's more for the migration from classic themes to block themes, that you can import widgets into the site from the sidebar, or that you use in the sidebar, that you can add them to block based theme parts or template parts. And because the widget was weren't available yet. There was a plugin available for to add it to the site editor by Justin Tadlock called Classic Widgets, and this is the attempt to get it all into core. But that is definitely something to check out and see how that suits you. There's not a whole lot of interf. Oh yeah, there is a little video there on how to do that. So how it's gonna work, and I really like that.
Yeah, this stuff's so cool. So it's just amazing. I don't know. That's just the stuff that they're working on. I'm just like, I don't even know how to start that. I don't even know how to build that. But y'all are doing a fantastic job doing all these cool things. So yeah, glad I got out of development when I did, because clearly I'm not qualified to do it anymore.
Yeah, and that's certainly something that it's for web developers that come from the 90s or early 2000s, yeah, that kind of did all that, did all the database, the CSS, the HTML, the PHP, the JavaScript. I think it's part of the times that you are not being expert in all of them as you were able to do in the early 2000s or yeah, mid 2000s, or when WordPress came out in with custom post types, and you can do it all, yeah. So yeah, another thing that they're working on is actually managing the font sets for the global styles typography, and yeah, how you can kind of make them available to more than one block, or kind of have the settings. Okay, I want this. You cannot go to every block and yeah, change the font family. Yeah, you need to some more general places where you just click on things, and then that applies that particular font family to that series of blocks or so. So you can kind of get this a little bit better. But that is really hard. Yeah, when I look at the interfaces at all, the design interfaces, you get a good feeling how hard that actually is to make this palatable for non-code users to put it in an interface that's not crowded, that's
Yeah.
not give you a lot of cognitive overload.
Yeah, and isn't developer-y jargon, loaded? It's hard to be able to communicate what font face means, or like font, the font weight. Like I know what that means as a developer, but if you're not, then how do you explain it, like how thick your letters are, basically? It's kind of how it is, right? Like letter thickness, like maybe that's how you do it. I don't know. I'll leave that to the professionals, but
And I mean there are other interfaces like the text editors, or like the Google Docs, or yeah, so that have some of it, yeah. But then there is such a granular control that a theme developer would need as well, that it kind of can really overload the things, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And one feature I really like is that to make it possible that you have push a local block style to the global styles. Yeah, you say, oh, I like this block how it is in that post that I just wrote, and I wish all my blocks, my paragraph blocks, or my image blocks would look that
Right.
way. Now they're working on it that you can push that to the global styles, and then all of a sudden every paragraph
Oh,
looks sad,
so like
or
reusable
yeah,
blocks, but for styles, kind
for
of.
styles, yeah,
That's so
reusable for styles
cool.
kind of thing. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
So
Man,
anytime you insert a paragraph block, you'd have that style available to you, even if it wasn't defined as part of your theme. I think that's super cool.
yeah, it's super cool at the beginning when I think so, but
Yeah.
if I think about, okay, how often do I change my mind? I said, oh, that could be really hard. Yeah, to kind of redo it. Yeah, you want it on 15 blocks, but not on 80 blocks kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah,
That's
but it,
true.
yeah.
Maybe they'll need an interface for editing those curated things where you edit the style and everything just gets it automatically. But who
Yeah.
knows? Who knows?
Yeah,
Sounds
but
cool. Cool either way.
you need to explore that, and yeah, if you test it and use it, and then yeah, all of a sudden you see what's working and what's not working. Yeah. Now, the other two really exciting as well. Do you want to take the first one or?
Is that the pre-published one? Yeah, so this one's really cool. It when you when you're about to publish a post, if you have images that are external to the website, so if you imported a post from something and the URLs to your images are somewhere else, in the pre-published sidebar that says, "Are you ready to publish?" There's a new panel being sort of suggested to be able to identify that you've got external images and give you the option to upload them to your media library. I think that is such a handy thing. I know, having done about a billion migrations, that that's a point of contention, because it's not easy to move those images programmatically. It can be done, but if you've imported stuff or copied and pasted and it's there and you can just do it with a button, that's so much simpler. I mean, it's not going to translate to doing like 1,000 posts all at once, but at least, it's such a nice feature. I think it's
Well, it's
so
only
cool.
for that particular page, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not bulk uploading for the entire site. It's for that specific page, which I think is great. So cool.
I really like that. And there was always a restriction before. Yeah, there was a button on each image block that said upload image. But that was kind of hit and miss as well. It worked with Google Docs, for instance. It worked, but it didn't work with other WordPress sites, for whatever, or certain WordPress sites on certain servers. But Ella put some research on it and found how that can be consistently work better now with that tool as well. And there's another PR open to copy that over to make that even better. So
Right. Yeah, I think
good
it's really
work.
nice. There's a the, on the tick on the issue that I'm sure we'll be linked in the show notes. There's a nice little graphical representation of what that looks like. It's nice and slick and just seems super easy. Yeah.
At
Well, the
least they're
next
deciding.
one is there's this has been merged. It's going to be the next version of Gutenberg, I believe, but it's an experimental feature. So it's an experiment on the experiment. And but this in the sidebar, this is going to split block sidebar controls into tabs, which I think is super neat. So being able to define settings for a block and appearance or styles or whatever you want to call it in separate tabs. So that's pretty exciting. As a block developer, I'm pretty excited about being able to do that, because I know that that sidebar gets really with really complicated blocks or that are doing lots of things. That sidebar gets really tall, really, really big, and you have to, like, have all your panels come in and they're collapsed by default. But being able to split them out into tabs will make that a much better experience, I think. I'm not sure about the technical implementation right now, but I would imagine, though, instead of just wrapping everything in inspector controls, you might have inspector control settings and inspector control appearance or whatever you want to call it. So yeah, that's something that I'm excited about, because I nerd out about that kind of stuff. But
Yeah, and I think it's much easier also for the user to have that separate, because sooner or later you're done with fiddling with the design of your site, and now you're putting content, and you don't have to touch those tiles anymore or scroll past them all the time. Yeah, so it's a
Exactly.
really a good way to think about these things and put them in experiments so we all can experience them and kind of see what works and what doesn't work. Yeah.
Yeah,
Tom,
yeah.
Yeah, I think the active what's active in development is so exciting for me to look forward, and I hope all of this makes it into 6.2. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's the next major version, and I don't we don't have a plan yet for 6.2, and I think sooner or later it will come out. I know that Hector and some of the core contributors are working on it and figuring out what would be a good release. It definitely gonna be not in 2022. So yeah, so
Yeah.
it will be
Yeah.
either February or March of
2022.
2023. Yeah, and maybe even before, maybe not WordCamp Asia, but after WordCamp Asia. Yeah, it's kind of that. Oh, speaking of which, what we haven't announced yet is the state of the word. Yeah, that's before the end of the show, and we are all on the end of the show. The state of the word will be happening in New York and on live stream on December 15th and at 1 p.m. Eastern. That's 5 p.m. UTC or 1700 UTC. No, 1 p.m. Eastern is plus five. It's 6 UTC is 1800 UTC and 1700 European time, Central European time. So, and we share the announcement post to the State of the Word on the news section in the show notes, so you can all make your reservations. There's also a form that you can apply to actually come to the event in New York. It's again in the automatic office like last year, and the automatic office in Soho office in New York City, in Manhattan. And yeah, it's going to be pretty cool. It's scheduled for 1.5 hours, and normally that's kind of half an hour presentation by Matt Mullenweg and Josefa together, and then Q&A for another hour, both live stream and in person. Yeah, so
Very cool. Nice. Exclusive. Dropping the
exclusive.
knowledge. Yeah, dropping the
Yeah. Well,
knowledge.
it's
Cool.
published already, so
Oh, well, then it's not that exclusive. I just haven't seen it. It's
not
exclusive to
that.
me. I just haven't seen it
Yeah.
yet.
Yeah, so well, that's as always, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. Well, it's hard today. Published on the gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And this is episode 76. And if you have questions or suggestions or news that you want us to include, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. Yes, that's an email address, and that's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. So thank you so much, Ryan. It was wonderful to have you. Do you have anything that you want our listeners to know that you haven't talked about yet, or how can people reach you?
Well, I don't have any exclusive things to announce today, but you can find me online. I'm at Ryan Welcher on Twitter. I am Welcher or Welcher Ryan or Ryan Welcher on basically every other piece of social media. My Twitch, you can check me out at Ryan Welcher Codes, and that's the same name for my YouTube channel, which is also Ryan Welcher Codes. And I think that's probably it. But yeah, I'd love to have everyone come and hang out with me on Thursdays, 10:30 Eastern when I do my live stream. So, but thank you for having me, Birgit. I know, love coming here and hanging out and talking all this cool
Awesome.
code stuff.
Yeah,
So,
and it's so
yeah.
wonderful to have you. Yeah, to talk through those things and have all your excitement for the Gutenberg custom development is such a nice addition to the Gutenberg changelog. Thank
Well,
you so
thank you for
much.
having me.
Yeah. All
Looking forward
right.
to the next
Well,
one.
yeah, and this was it. Thank you all for listening. This is goodbye from me, and talk to you the next time.